I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Browns have filed a lawsuit against the city of Cleveland to try and figure out the whole Modell law that the city is trying to invoke here, and it continues to turn this into what it didn't have to be, and the city of Cleveland is making sure that it is, which is a public fiasco that just wastes more of your taxpayer dollars. But I'm editorializing here, and why do that? When our next guest, if you guys have not been paying attention to what Daryl has done with the entirety of this story, going all the way back to 2017, Daryl has been all over it. He does have a piece up on 92.3thefan.com, basically talking about this lawsuit in U.S. District Court in wake of a threat from the city of Cleveland. And that's up right now, 92.3thefan.com. But now Daryl Reiner joins us, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What's up, bud?
How you guys doing?
Oh, I'm enjoying it. I mean, who doesn't love a city that can't afford a team threatening to sue a team for leaving when they can't afford them, and now the team's suing the city, which means we're going to waste some tax dollars on this because, you know, politicians want to be a politician.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is in response to the saber rattling that had been coming from City Hall in response to the Browns' desire to build the new dome in Brook Park, in which the city, wants to invoke the Modell law. And for those that aren't necessarily familiar with that particular law, it basically is a law was enacted back in June of 1996, where, following the original Browns' move to Baltimore, says, no owner of a pro sports team that uses any tax-supported facility for, its home games and gets financial assistance. There's some restrictions. You can't just up and move, without an agreement to do so, or give someone else the opportunity to buy the team. And basically what the Browns are saying here is that they are not threatening to move prior to the expiration of their lease, which is the legal document signed all the way back in 1996 between the National Football League and the city of Cleveland concerning the construction of a brand new stadium at the time to house the Browns through the 2028 football season. When the Haslams bought the Browns, they inherited the terms of said lease and everything else that comes with owning the NFL franchise. And so the team contends that they will have fulfilled their obligations, their legal obligations under the terms of the lease, and that once that expires, they don't have any obligations. They're not required to sign a lease extension. They're not required to continue playing games in that building. They should be free to move to a new building. And so this basically was a preemptive strike against the city of Cleveland, because what was coming out of City Hall was, well, we're getting our stuff in order here, and we're going to do this on our timetable. And well, the Browns have a timetable themselves. They're trying to close on the land acquisition in Brook Park. They have they're working on putting the funding for that particular project together. They've got a construction timeline. They've got budgetary things that they're considering here because they want to make sure this project comes in at the $2.4 billion price tag that has been set. Any delays, obviously, challenge that. So this is not what the Browns wanted as well. They did not want a legal you-know-what contest between them and the city of Cleveland. But again, the saber-rattling coming from City Hall kind of forced the Browns' hand, and they had to file this suit today to basically request from the U.S. District Court a ruling on the application of the Modell law in this particular case.
Daryl, why from the city?
Well, I don't I really don't understand some of what these politicians are trying to do. I reached out to the mayor's office yesterday, never heard back from them. Talked to a couple of sources at City Hall about this, and the conversation usually stops when I get into just the question you asked. You know, why? I mean, if the team presents challenges to the city from a financial standpoint, you know, from resources to host the games, to resources to service existing stadium debt and existing stadium maintenance, you know, why fight for something that, you know, presents these complications? And nobody wants to answer that question, which, you know, my opinion, and I'm stressing this is my opinion, that means it's just a vanity exercise. But the Browns don't want to take a chance of the city of Cleveland trying to derail this project with legal action. So the Browns basically went to U.S. District Court and said, hey, we need you to settle this matter for us. Can we legally build this dome in Brook Park? Here's our standing. This is our belief, our interpretation. And one of the things that the Browns argue within this 20-page filing that I just got done reading is, well, the law is pretty vague as well. There's not a lot of specifics in there. The team isn't leaving the region. They're still the Cleveland Browns, right? You know, this is a project that would be of, you know, economic, significant economic development for the region. David Jenkins, the CEO of the Browns, put in the statement he's pricing it out at a $3 to $3.5 billion project that includes the dome as well as the adjoining development. $2 billion in private investment here. You know, they basically laid everything out, laid out the processes with the city of Cleveland, kind of laid out what the city of Cleveland's arguing, laid out what they're arguing in response to the city. So, you know, we unfortunately have a legal battle on our hands right now that, again, the Browns, quite frankly, did not want to do. They were really trying to be good partners to everyone involved and try and make this as seamless of a transition as possible. But city of Cleveland officials did not want that to happen. They wanted to challenge this, and so the Browns are forced to get clarity on this law as quickly as possible so that they can move forward with their project.
So I think because of that, obviously the Browns need to be able to put this in a motion to have this thing open up by 2029 in the right time. So what kind of timeline do you think we might be looking at with this lawsuit and resolution so that those other parts can kind of fall into place?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously court systems are difficult to predict when a resolution to this is going to come down. But, you know, all in all, the Browns would like to begin construction in 2026. You know, this project requires a significant excavation 80 feet into the ground, similar to what Stan Kroenke and the L.A. Rams did out in Inglewood. That stadium is built into the ground as well. That's how this stadium is going to be, this domed stadium is going to be built here in Cleveland. They have to go down into the ground. So the excavation itself is time consuming before they can even, you know, begin the actual construction of the facility. And any delays to this project, you know, raises that price tag. And you know, the Browns are trying to do this as fiscally responsible as possible.
So with all this, do you think there's any scenario where the Browns stay downtown?
Well, I've learned never to speak in absolutes because every time I speak in absolutes, I'm the one that ends up looking like the idiot. So I won't say absolutely not. You know, obviously, I think that, you know, if the court does not rule in their favor, if it rules in favor of the city of Cleveland, that, you know, potentially could change things. But that's why the Browns want to get this resolved. They don't want to have to deal with the vagueness of this Modell law and its application here. And again, the team is not failing any legal obligation, whether it's to the city of Cleveland or the stadium corporation, which is, I guess, the entity that this lease is technically with or whatever. But you know, they're going to fulfill it, and you know, and they should be free and clear. And the team argues that, yeah, you know, when that lease expires, they should be free and clear to move into a new building of their choosing.
Daryl, new quarterback, new OC, well, sorry, new play caller. You expect to see a brand new offense on Sunday against the Ravens?
I don't think so. Now, could the production be different? Could the results be different? Potentially. I asked Ken Dorsey today if, you know, materially anything changes with this offense, and I think in his way of saying no, he said no. Maybe Jameis Winston can give them a little bit of a spark. Maybe the offense will at least be entertaining to watch with Jameis Winston at quarterback. They may not win games, but hey, we'll see some interceptions, we'll see some long plays, we'll see some touchdowns, right? I mean, let's be honest about it, Nick. The offense has been unwatchable. I mean, it has been expansion team worthy. Actually, it is even worthy of an expansion team. It's that bad. So, that's my thinking, that I don't expect the scheme, if you will, to change, but maybe, you know, some of the results change. They finally have a play that goes for 40 yards. Maybe they score, 20 points in a game at some point this season. But I just kind of feel like this move today that was made by Kevin Stefanski on Wednesday, as we talked about, I kind of feel like it is a little bit of a Hail Mary on Stefanski's part, even though he told us that it was blasphemy to think such things.
Think about it. I said this earlier. I want to get your take on it real quick.
Yeah.
Browns have a chance to do the funniest thing on Sunday and beat the Ravens.
Don't give them any ideas, will you?
I mean, think about it. If these players are really upset at the fans, at this point, the meanest thing you can do is beat the Ravens and take this thing to about 8-9.
I think I said earlier this season when they were playing Washington, coming off a tough loss in Las Vegas, and I said it'd be the most Cleveland Browns thing ever. They went to Washington, played the game of their lives, and beat the Red Hot Commanders. Clearly, that didn't happen, and they're riding a 5-game slide right now, trying to avoid number 6 in a row, but Baltimore's coming in red hot. Going to be a tough, tough win for them if the Browns are going to get it done. Derrick Henry's rolling. You've got Lamar Jackson's rolling. Baltimore's pass defense ain't that great. I think right now they're ranked 32 or 31, something like that. But the Browns have played some lousy pass defenses in the last 6 weeks or so, and it still hasn't gone well for them. So we'll see.
Daryl, appreciate you, buddy. Thanks again.
You bet.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I realized something when I was, because I'll be honest with you, I like Jameis Winston the farther down the depth chart he is. Meaning that I actually think Jameis has some fun to him. We obviously had him on way back when they signed him, I want to say in March. And he gave us a couple good sound clips. Like, there's good energy there. I totally understand why some fans gravitate towards Jameis Winston. But as I was thinking about Jameis, just kind of getting ready for this weekend, I realized that, like, Jameis Winston is just the bankrupt version of the bankrupt man's version of Russell Wilson. He's a total goofball. I don't know his teammates love him the way I think. Like, I don't think it's unilateral. I think the people that buy into what Jameis is selling really, really, really buy into what Jameis is selling. I don't know that if you're looking, like, because in some of the conversations I've had with some of you, I think the conversation is finally they've got an adult in the room. The players are going to respond to this. There's a new play caller. I personally don't know that anything can salvage the offense this year. I think it's a lot of things that broke it. I do think Deshaun being the number one first and foremost thing that broke the Browns offense. I think Kevin Stefanski not going to a different offense 3 years ago probably broke the offense this year. I think everybody focuses on, well, but Kevin's offense has worked so well. Yeah, but he spent two seasons not building the offense around Deshaun in a way that I think Deshaun understood. I don't know, in fairness, I don't know Deshaun know how to put into words what he needed. I think Deshaun had a lot going on, and I think Deshaun deserves failure for this offense looking the way it does. But I think when it comes to Jameis, like I keep going back to this, I think it's going to be more fun, but I don't know it's going to lead to any more winning. It might lead to one or two extra wins than it would with DTR, But I think with Jameis,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think there's just always going to be a certain amount of people in the locker room who don't like that style. Because he is a bit of a goof. He is a bit of a ham. He is a bit of a... And honestly, I think if you listen, I can't remember. It was Gerald McCoy in one other former Buccaneer on a podcast.
LeSean McCoy.
Like, was it 3 months ago? 2 months ago? That basically said... The locker room really didn't love some of the pregame festivity, the pep rally kind of speeches, and it kind of hurt Jameis in the locker room because it felt like collegiate or it felt like high school. That's kind of like, I know Jameis is like 6'5", 250, and Russ Wilson's like 5'11", 215, but I think both of them have relatability problems. And I'm going to assume this is an assumption. I bet you it's easier for the locker room to get on Jameis's wavelength when he's not the starter. And I want to. There's going to be something we do here in a minute to have some fun at the expense of Jameis. But the reality is, Jason said something earlier that I think is really, really, really important. That and his was to a degree I don't know I necessarily agree with. But basically, players do not love playing for you. They love playing for the money, and they love playing in the NFL. And they came here because you either drafted them, traded for them, or were willing to pay them the most amount of money. And to a specific degree, that's right. And so, and conversely, we tend to love a lot of guys that play for the Browns. But you kind of have to be either really good at football or a legitimately good dude. Well, when it comes to locker room dynamics, the thing I'd always heard is players like each other. Everybody has, you know, it's a melting pot of different personalities, different mindsets, different everything. And that in the end, as players, as long as you're not disrespectful to each other, you're good, right? As long as you, like, respect the general rules of the team, fall in line, yada, yada, yada. The one way you can lose teammates is to go ahead and not play well. Like, again, I don't think people, like, when we talk about the Deshaun thing, has been so tough to kind of encapsulate perfectly, because I don't think most of those dudes in that locker room cared a bit about those allegations. I'm sure there are guys that did, but by and large, football players live by the motto, if you don't negatively affect my check, we're good. And so... Or unless they're just like the leader of men, right? The leader of men, the guy they respect no matter what. You could pretty much do anything and be accused of anything, and players would rationalize it. Well, they weren't there. They don't really know it. And it doesn't really matter what the truth is, because if you can help the team win, you can help the team win. I think it's going to be a really interesting weekend because there are, and this is not me reporting it, there are things out there you can find on social media where there's some informed speculation that the organization, maybe the locker room, already isn't a huge fan of Jameis. So this weekend represents an opportunity with the Browns for Jameis to kind of remind people that he is a walking 30-yard completion waiting to happen. I just don't know for a guy that I think players love to some degree. He's also a walking turnover, and this might be the start of the next rung of ugliness from the Browns. Like, we talk about winning and losing all the time, the impact of winning. I don't know anybody in the NFL needs a win more to stave off truly, truly ugly stuff happening or coming out. It's going to happen, by the way. Guys, we're gonna get some of the dirty deets at some point. They're 1-6. And they're 1-6 with a team that we thought were going to be a great team like 7 weeks ago. So I anticipate finding out. This is just like 2022. And it's like 2022 where, I mean, in fairness, they were 7-10. But there were some ugly things going on in the locker room, and it came out really in December. I'm going to say that again, they were 7-10. I don't know this thing goes to 7-10. I think that might be pie in the sky at this point. I think 5 wins might be the ceiling of this team because, yeah, you got some teams here you can beat down the stretch. You got a lot of teams with championship aspirations. You do have Baltimore twice. You've got Pittsburgh twice. Kansas City. Miami's probably going to have Tua back when you see him at the end of the season. Even a couple teams above you that, honestly, I still think you're more talented than, but are maybe playing for their coaches' lives, like in a situation like New Orleans. So this weekend represents one of the very few last opportunities to kind of get things trending. Problem is, I just don't know that Jameis is the guy. It might be more fun. You might like the preacher stuff. Some people have called it fake. I'm not going to do that. I don't know Jameis. I don't want to cast aspersions. But I kind of think this weekend is going to really start to determine whether it gets super duper ugly, super duper quick. And everybody can say, hey, they're not tanking. Hey, they're not this. They're not doing that. Guys, between the next 2 home games, they already lost a bad one at home. The next 2 home games, with players, by the way, openly revolting on fans against the best team in football. The third best team in football, the Baltimore Ravens. Jameis better light up the damn sky. Now, I do want to have a little fun because I have now for 2 straight days been watching. I don't know if you guys know who Lou Young is. He's kind of an impressionist and a TikTok digital creator, whatever you want to say. And he took a stab at a Jameis Winston impression. I almost want to play Jameis from earlier this week. Mac, do we have the shorter cut of Jameis? Just to refresh people. It was like a 25-second cut of Jameis talking about Deshaun. It was from Sunday, but it would have been from Monday. Because I want you to hear, I don't know that I've heard somebody. So this is Jameis, but then we're going to play Lou Young here in a minute.
The way I was raised, I was taught to love no matter the circumstances, especially for people who do right by you. I'm grateful that I had a chance to serve Deshaun, but I am very upset with the reaction to a man that has had the world against him for the past 4 years, and he put his body and life on the line for this city every single day, regardless of your perception, regardless of what you thought should happen with him. He committed every single day that I've been here to be the best that he can be for this team.
All right, so that is the Jameis refresher. I hope that didn't piss you off just hearing that again, because it started to get the juices flowing. But here is clip 1 of Lou Young's Jameis impression.
taught to never kick a man down when he's down and pick him up when he needs to get up. You don't throw dirt on a man's casket when he's still breathing.
That is so good. Like, just give me like the first 5 seconds of Jameis, and then we're going to stop it real quick and play Lou Young. Just give me the first 5 seconds as quick as you possibly can there, Mac.
The way I was raised, I was taught to love no matter the circumstances.
All right, now give me the...
Taught to never kick a man down when he's down and pick him up when he needs to get up. You don't throw dirt on a man's casket when he's still breathing.
All right, so the impression in and of itself is really, really funny. Then Lou, there's a lot of it we can't play because there's some things that are not suitable for air. But the more you get into it, there are gems like this.
I've already prayed for Deshaun's. I prayed over his legs, his limbs. Shame on the men and the women in the stands. The dog pounds. I am not roofing with you today, but he will win again.
Oh, my God. All right. So, this is really, there's no topic here. There really isn't. There's just a flawless, I've heard people do a like good Jameis before. Guys, this is flawless. And I'm going to give you just a little, I cannot remember which one this is. I hope it's the right one and not the one that I'm not sure about. Here's one more from Lou Young on his Jameis Winston impression.
Verses 7 through 10, Ephesians, let not be your own dishonor, but look yourselves in the mirror. Do you like what you see when you walk out the door? Where I'm from, I am a Southern child. But the true depiction of a man is when he get up, when people kick him down so he could be a winner again.
Again, find the man on TikTok. You might need him this weekend. Maybe find that TikTok, and every time Jameis throws an interception, come back to this. Every time he has a touchdown, come back to this as well. It might be even funnier if they win and Jameis plays really well. Just give me number one again on the way out here. Here's Lou Young.
Never kick a man down when he's down and pick him up when he needs to get up. You don't throw dirt on a man's casket when he's still breathing.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.